Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Holiday Insights Series, a new podcast series produced by Retail Touchpoints and sponsored by Salesforce. I'm Alicia Esposito, content strategist at Retail Touchpoints. Over the next few months, I'll be interviewing experts and influencers across all areas of the retail world. We'll delve into the latest customer trends and technologies and how they'll impact retailers' holiday experiences. We'll also provide some ongoing updates as the season goes on, so you can refine and optimize your strategies as we head into the new year. So our guest today is undoubtedly one of the leading voices in the e-commerce and retail world. She's shared her insights on Retail Touchpoints before, and you've likely heard her perspectives at one of the many retail events all around the world or even on television. So we're really happy to have Sucharita Kodali of Forrester here today. Sucharita, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the holidays, of course, are well behind us by now, but the retail community, of course, is still talking about some of the key trends, the results, and, of course, how they impact their 2019 strategies. It's the circle of life in retail, so to speak. And Forrester did a lot of research over the course of the season, so I thought a good way to start our conversation would be to hear from you. You know, what were some of the results that Forrester saw during the holidays, and what do you think they'll do? Like, what impact will they make in 2019?
Yeah, so most retailers, particularly those that had pretty strong web presences, definitely saw growth in Q4, and much of that was, of course, in their online sales division. There were some companies like Amazon that continue to, kind of do better than even the overall industry, which means that they're gaining share, but the net you know e-commerce has definitely been a big driver of any growth that retailers are seeing. Now, all that said, there were companies that had challenges, particularly in their physical stores. There were companies like Macy's that had some softer growth than they had been seeing through some of the earlier parts of the season, or earlier parts of the year, I should say, in 2018. I think that some of that is just due to the fact that retail is as an industry, it's a zero-sum game, and you do have some companies gaining share while others are losing share. And right now, it's the e-commerce channel that's gaining a lot of share. And if you're, so long as you're strong there, that's one's best opportunity for capturing the wallet share.
Yep, absolutely. And that e-commerce rise, so to speak, is really just testament to shifting consumer behaviors and preferences. I mean, the Amazons of the world have kind of set the precedence, right, of the customer experience and making things as easy and turnkey as possible. But I'm glad you brought up brick and mortar because, you know, really hot topic now in the industry, especially at shows like NRF, which, you know, we just attended a few weeks ago. A lot of the content and the booths revolved around the core narrative of reinventing retail or reinventing the store experience, which, you know, there's a lot of exciting opportunity there. There are a lot of cutting edge technologies to help facilitate that. What are your thoughts on this narrative that's being posed? Is this a realistic goal for 2019? Are you seeing some movement within the retail community? And what trends are really rising to the top as retailers take a hard look at their stores in particular and say, how can we tackle this challenge like the Macy's of the world are dealing with?
Well, I think that a lot of retailers are closing some of their excess stores, and that's a challenge that just takes time because you have to wait for leases to come due, and if you may realize you're overstored now, it's not always easy to act upon because you either need to find other tenants for that property or you just need to wait for an opportunity to renew that lease. So, but that's part of why you see the closing of a lot of retail stores is for exactly that reason, is that bricks and mortar is challenged, and there are the number of really attractive retail destinations is not huge. It's physical retail, probably about 20% of malls and shopping centers in the United States we would consider to be like A properties. Most others are just not that great, which is fine if you're if you're a medical practice or you're an ethnic grocer or, you know, something where consumers will come to you. But if you are a specialty store that depends on, casual foot traffic, to be in some of those B or C properties is a big challenge. And, and you're sometimes stuck there because, these are 20 or 30 year long leases that may have been signed at times when the properties were more attractive than they are now. So there's definitely just kind of the shakeout of physical retail that is important and that we'll continue to see a lot that is, that's happening on that front. You do hear a lot about things like experiential retail and making stores more fun or engaging environments. I think that makes sense. And, kind of your A property locations, or it makes sense, in dense urban environments. But it's not a super scalable idea because it often does involve a lot of expensive costs, either in build outs of your store or in sales associates and people who would help to manage that experience. So this is where, I think it becomes just more important for retailers to diversify and to find other ways of making money, whether it's, kind of getting into adjacent businesses or offering services that may make sense for whatever their business is. I'd argue that a company like Sears probably wouldn't be in the financial position it's in today if they had held on to some of the businesses that they diversified into over the years. Some of the things that people may or may not know about Sears, for instance, is that it was, where the Discover card got its start. Sears once had Allstate insurance, and all of those businesses had over time been divested from Sears. But arguably, those businesses are the ones that are doing okay, and the core Sears business of selling physical goods in, kind of not the best locations is the business that wasn't doing as well. But ironically, that was the business that the company had held on to. So I think that when companies have the opportunity to diversify, they have to be wise and looking at, where is the future versus, what's viable for the present.
That's really interesting, Sucharita. So just to ask a quick follow-up question around that, what can retailers do to ensure that they're strategic in those conversations or considering ways to diversify a little bit more? Is it taking a look at, their current product offerings and figuring out what supports or complements those offerings? Is it merely a matter of just understanding the customer and kind of building around them? I'm just curious if there's an ideal way to, shake those details out to determine, how can we diversify a little bit more?
I think that a lot of it has to do with, taking stock of your own assets and really looking at where are your strengths and what do you have, whether it's from a consumer standpoint or whether it's from another asset. When you look at a company like Amazon, I think some of the things that Amazon has done is that they've really taken stock of what are that company's assets, that everything from their technology talent and looking at larger trends in the industry to help create new products that that leverage Amazon's strength. So, you know, one of the things that they recognized was a need was this push toward toward cloud, and you know, that was really the origins of Amazon Web Services. When you look at its marketing services group, a large part of it is that was born of the fact that it just has a large amount of traffic, just just eyeballs and consumers coming to its web properties. So I think that other companies, should also take stock of, what are your assets? And, if eyeballs and foot traffic are a significant part of what you do or what you're able to generate, is there maybe a media opportunity or an advertising opportunity that's there? If your assets are related to, loyalty and, merchandising, are there opportunities there that makes sense? So I think that it's really, doing an audit of what are your strengths and, what can you potentially flex into that makes sense for an adjacent business.
Got it. That's very helpful. Thank you. So I think, our conversation thus far, we've kind of done an inventory of all of the change and all of the different forces that retailers are forced to navigate, within the retail realm specifically, of course, taking into account consumer needs and preferences as well. But, there are a lot of other forces as well that impact growth opportunities or impact the overall health of the business. And I know there have been rumblings recently around, the trade wars and, possible implications or the possible impact of the government shutdown. I mean, do you have any thoughts on the impact of outside forces, economic forces, political forces, et cetera, the impact they've had thus far? Is there going to be a long tail impact that retailers should take note of, or is it all still kind of developing and all kind of hearsay right now?
Well, I think that there is a lot that is still speculation. I think that there was quite a bit of talk about tariffs in 2018, but it looks like a lot of that may not really come to fruition in 2019, which is great for the retail industry because then they don't have to deal with extra taxes on goods, especially because they are so dependent on markets like China. And in any case, the tariffs weren't expected in categories like apparel, which are a huge part of the physical goods that are imported to the U.S. I think that it's still very very speculative what will ultimately happen. But I think that what we do know is that we're probably due for a recession. We're probably due for some type of a correction of some sort. The economy has had a pretty strong bull run for a number of years, and retail is very cyclical. And a lot of retailers saw some pretty good growth in 2018. And given that retail is such a zero-sum game, usually when there are good quarters, I, always worry that bad quarters aren't far behind. So it's best for companies to just hunker down and prepare for tougher times because, just because shoppers may have purchased in one quarter doesn't necessarily mean that momentum is going to continue into the future.
Right. That's a great point. And are there any other forces that we haven't spoken about yet that you think are really critical to call out as retailers begin to, develop their strategy or develop that plan to action?
I think that, a lot of, there's not really an easy answer other than to just, you know, kind of save for a rainy day. And some of that is just to first of all, to be pretty conservative in your, expectations for the future. I think that that's where often retailers get into trouble is that they, because they saw, a quarter or two of strong growth, they'll, have very aggressive plans for the future. That I think was actually Macy's problem in Q4. It wasn't so much that that they had done badly. I mean, they're lucky to be gaining any, any positive sales at all in such a tough economic and, in such a competitive retail environment, I should say. I think the bigger issue was that they had projected stronger growth, and then they had to retrench on some of those very aggressive estimates. So I think, just even being more conservative with one's outlook is an important piece. And then, planning, to flex down on things like, kind of marketing spend and elements of your variable marketing budget or variable spend overall that you just may not have the luxury to execute, I think are important pieces. So it's always, I think that for retailers, many of which are, publicly traded, a lot of it is just sort of managing to the street and making sure that expectations aren't, misaligned. Because I think that that's where a lot of retailers get in trouble is that they may have set higher expectations, and then they can't even deliver against those expectations.
Yeah, there are some great points there. And I think to close the loop on our conversation, as you noted earlier around experiential retail and, all of the great in-store tech that is front and center for retailers to see what they can capitalize on, it all ties back to being strategic, right? It's figuring out what makes sense for your business from a financial standpoint, not only in the now, but, the long-term bigger picture and just aligning your strategies to what makes sense for your target customers and, any real estate you have, just making sure that, there's a strategy in place, not, do a full rollout of this new in-store concept because, it worked once. So, I think it's going to be an interesting journey for retailers as they try to navigate all these forces while still figuring out how to differentiate in the marketplace.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great. Well, Sucharita, you shared a lot of really fantastic insights today, and I really appreciate you digging deep into all of these different forces, again, that retailers need to navigate in 2019. But if retailers want to get a few more insights from you, from Forrester, of course, the Forrester website, but are there any other resources that you'd point them to get some more information and insights?
Sure. Yeah. Most of the analysts, including myself, have Twitter feeds where we're sharing our favorite articles and, kind of data points of interest. And, my Twitter handle is smulpuru, M-U-L-P-U-R-U. We, of course, as you'd mentioned, have, a number of different blog posts where we put highlights of our research. I'm also, a big fan of any kind of regular releases that come out from government data kind of the U.S. Census, because they often, will also have, kind of a good handle on how the industry overall is doing.
Great. Well, thanks again, Sucharita, so much for taking the time out. And thanks everyone out there for listening. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of the Holiday Insights series. Our conversation today only scratches the surface of all the opportunities retailers have to surprise and delight customers during this magical time of year. And if you're looking for more holiday insights, just visit our podcast hub or the Salesforce Holiday Resource page, which are linked in the show notes.